You can have your Bible ready, but I'm going to read you some verses out of Luke 24 and Acts 17 and Hebrews 2 to begin this morning. Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In that same chapter later on he said, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, Thus it is written, And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. In Acts 17:2, Paul is speaking and he says, he goes, as his manner was, went in unto them to the synagogue and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. One of the things that people missed in the prophecies of Christ is Christ must needs have suffered. Hebrews 2:10, For it became him, for whom were all things, and by whom were all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. This is a foundational truth in Christianity. In order to follow Jesus, we must also follow him in suffering. He said, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You cannot be my disciple. He said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. So this is foundational. In Philippians 1:29, For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. One of the things... it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through suffering, because those following him will be suffering as well. And we know that he's been through it already. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I hope that you will help me this morning. I pray that you would give me clearness of thought and speech, that I might communicate a very important truth, and that we might all understand it clearly. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Suffering is an indelible part of the Christian life. It is not to be shunned, avoided, or shamed. In Matthew 5:10, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is a fundamental, foundational truth, and that's why it's one that Satan wants to toy with. It is foundational to the success of the striving pilgrim. Sin brings suffering and death, and we have an enemy. We must reconcile with God. We must overcome sin. We must stay on the narrow road, and there will be battle. There will be warfare. So suffering is a necessary part. But Satan loves to attack foundational truths.
Right.
Satan loves to come to a foundation stone like this and to tweak it just a little bit. Because he knows when you tweak the foundation, you change the whole building. And we've been dealing with a number of these foundation stones in the messages recently about the truths that are foundational to Christianity, which if changed a little bit, changes everything. It actually presents a different Jesus. So this is another one of those foundational truths. I have observed a subtle twist to this truth. See, suffering is only a means to an end. It is not the end. It is not glorious in itself. The end and mode is what gives suffering virtue. What we are suffering for and what we do in suffering determines the value. But Satan has engaged in a psychological war. In establishing misdirected honors, misdirected glory, and thus has created a system of false values as an effort to destroy the morale of God's soldiers, God's faithful. And what it goes like this. There's a shift. A shifting of the glory and honor from how well you suffer through unto final victory in God's will, to how well you cope with suffering, period, regardless of the cause. And then he takes it one step further, to how well you cope with suffering due to defeat and unfaithfulness. And this shift I have seen clearly in Christendom today. What if I were waging a war against a mighty army of valiant men who were fiercely loyal and fought to the death without ever wavering, would never surrender, would never compromise, but would fought for the cause with their last drop of blood? And what if I begin to filter in my own recruits and subtly change the thinking of the group so that instead of those who suffered faithfully unto death and thus suffered through to being victorious heroes, the honor and glory was based on how well men coped with suffering defeat. It was now honorable if they suffered defeat with a good attitude. If they coped well with their defeat and kept a positive outlook, they were praised and rewarded. Surrender was now an act of humility, actually more honorable than waging a nasty war. Servitude actually reached the same goal anyway, and why the unnecessary hardships? You think this is far-fetched? Listen, consider the temptations of Christ. It's the exact same principles. Number one, first temptation. Physical suffering to be a faithful soldier and keep rank is foolish. You need to look out for yourself. Number two, God will take care of you even while you're not obeying His word. You just need to trust God while you suffer destruction for tempting God. Claim His promises while you disregard His will. Claim His promises while you jump off the temple. Number three, just surrender. Just worship me. Just bow down. And I will help you prosper and reach your goals. The implication there is, otherwise, it's all out war. So why be foolish? And why have all out war? Just do me homage and I'll help you reach your goals. I call this Satan's cope cult. And his messengers are administering his cope dope, principles worldwide. Over the pulpits of the nation. And everyone who is suffering, regardless of the cause, regardless of why they're suffering, that's them bearing their cross for Jesus. Everyone shares their failures and defeats and how they're coping with it. They pat each other on the back and assure themselves that God understands. His laws were just not the best thing to do in this situation. Our situation is different and moral failure was the only option. The greater the failure and defeat, the more amazing the coping. How amazing they're coping with this. So the hero is the one who copes with the greatest defeat. Give special awards and honors to the greatest failures and defeats. Suffering rejection because you became a turncoat is now the new persecution. Now, hatred towards God's enemy is seen as immature and base. But compromise is the new maturity. Oh, look how wonderful they are handling their moral and spiritual failure. Oh, just listen to how they're trusting God with the consequences of their refusal to obey His word. Oh, they praise God's sovereignty while they reap the built-in judgments of disobeying His laws. While jumping off the temple in obedience to Satan, they are still trusting God's promises. Well, you know where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. All our righteousness is filthy rags, and we don't want to be Pharisees. So they're suffering diseases due to smoking, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, junk food, laziness, stubbornness, suffering due to gluttony, bad hygiene, immorality, messed up priorities, or an unteachable spirit. Friends, that's not the cross.
No, right.
You're not suffering for Jesus. Suffering because their children followed their bad example and brushed off the preacher's sermon. Suffering because they sent their children to public school and raised them in front of the TV and radio. Suffering because they didn't follow God's word in their marriage, their finances, their lifestyle, or child training. Suffering because of poor stewardship, bad management, lack of self-control, and fear of God. Suffering because they wouldn't take humble advice from those who God has ordained to counsel them. And in this satanic cult, they have their own catalog of Bible heroes. Yes, the Cope cult patriarchs, like Eli, coping with his rebellious sons and learning to love them unconditionally as they continue desecrating the priesthood. And they have Saul coping with his evil spirit, and so now they're studying the benefits of music therapy. They have Jeroboam, who had to cope with those self-righteous Pharisees who wanted to be biblical and worship God's way. They have the pastor of Pergamos coping with the Nicolaitans and showing them love and acceptance. They have the pastor of Thyatira coping with Jezebel and trying not to be judgmental. They have the ship captain coping with Heraclidon and trusting the sovereignty of God. They have Diotrephes suffering from too many Bible bangers and legalists in his church. They have Herod suffering from intestinal worms. We're all just glad he went to a better place. And the latest edition, a new study on Jonah, coping with life in the whale's belly. But nobody asks what he was doing in the whale's belly, why he was in the whale's belly to begin with. You would be charged with being unloving and uncompassionate if you asked, why was Jonah in the whale's belly? No, we just want to look at how well he coped with the whale's belly. I guarantee you the suffering in the whale's belly is not what he's going to be rewarded for on Judgment Day.
That's right.
That type of suffering is not bearing the cross. That type of suffering is not working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That suffering hopefully will bring you to repentance, but if it does not, it's just suffering in vain. Dysfunctional families, marriages, churches, and all the suffering they cause is now not the problem. Now all this suffering is blamed on God's sovereignty, and as long as you cope well with it, you're a good Christian. Do you know that God does not want you coping with defeat? God does not want you coping with dysfunction. God does not need you coping with bad doctrine. This is not the suffering of following Jesus. This is not the suffering that leads to glory. It leads to shame and more destruction. God's church is not a bunch of spiritual POWs being led around by Satan trying to keep a positive outlook and cope with their failure and defeat.
Amen. Right.
Turn to Hebrews 11. The church of God is known for suffering through to victory.
Yes.
The suffering that brings glory is suffering in righteousness on to victory. Hebrews 11:7. I'm not going to read every single verse. I'm going to hit the high points. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 13. These all died in faith. They didn't die in spiritual POW prison. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do or drown. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all obtained a good report through faith. These all obtained a good report through faith. There were no surrenders. There were no failures. There were no POWs. These all obtained a well done.
Yes.
Our heritage is not that of suffering and defeat, suffering due to rebellion, suffering because of carnality, suffering under God's displeasure, suffering from sin's bondage. Our heritage is suffering in righteousness unto victory.
Amen.
You have been adopted into a holy family of overcoming saints. You don't need to be ashamed of it. You have to become an overcomer to be in this family. You have to be an achiever. You have to bear fruit to be in the family. There is no room for defeat in this war. There is no room for wimps or cowards or compromisers. No POWs allowed. Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it." That's the family. If that's not you, you're not in.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's the family. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That's the family. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. There is no discharge in this war. There is no surrender in this war without ultimate defeat. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's the war. Striving against sin. That you cannot surrender. There can be no surrender. Or you forfeit family status altogether.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't make a league with the enemy in this war. Striving against sin. But you see, Satan doesn't want you to suffer for obedience. He doesn't want you to suffer for holiness. He doesn't want you to suffer for modesty. He doesn't want you to suffer for rebuking sin. But when you suffer for disobedience, when you suffer for pride or laziness or failure, then Satan's going to praise you and comfort you. And if a faithful soldier stands up and says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Wow, that's carnal boasting. That's spiritual pride. Rather than the hero being the bravest warrior, in the Cope cult, he's the greatest failure. I see it all around us. The truly humble is the biggest failure. And yet, the one that is courageous, the one that is zealous, the one that is charging the enemy, the one that is gaining the victory, the one that is slaying the giants. Oh, he's proud. He's got a pride problem. Why are we so worried about the world's polls?
Amen.
Why are we so worried about what the devil's group thinks of us? Why is it that when they get charged us with being a Pharisee, we back off? When they charge us with a lack of compassion, then suddenly we cave in? Why are we letting them set the criteria? We are in a war. They are the enemy. Woe is me. I just can't have victory as you all enjoy. I don't want to be self-righteous. Well, why don't you be Bible righteous?
Amen.
Why don't you find out what righteousness is in the Bible and do that? Self-righteous is when you're living by your own criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Self-righteous is not really righteous.
Right.
Self-righteous is me determining what I think is righteous and doing that and disregarding what God says is righteous. That's self-righteousness. Okay? But when I'm doing what God says, when I stand up and say, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, that's not self-righteousness. That's a soldier rejoicing in the victory that God has given him. And we don't need to be ashamed of that victory. Oh, I don't want anyone to think I'm holier than thou. So I just humbly wallow in the mire. Do you know what? If you're going to go to heaven, you have to be holier than thou.
Amen.
Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be holier than that group out there, or you're not going to heaven.
Right.
But when they say, oh, you're just holier than thou. Oh, I'm not holy. Oh, I'll get down here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah, we better be holier than that bunch. I cannot rejoice in overcoming because I don't want to offend the POWs. We want to be sensitive. I can't rejoice in victory and be a good example. I have to only talk of my failure and defeat. Jesus said, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, but what if they're convicted by it? That's the whole point. They're supposed to be convicted by it. They're supposed to look at your life. They're supposed to come into your church service and not feel comfortable.
That's right.
You look at 1 Corinthians, he says they should come in. And when we talk about the things of God, they should feel convicted.
Yeah.
They should feel smitten. They should fall down and repent.
Amen.
We're all just sinners, you know. Jesus fought the battle so we can just wimp out. The white flag becomes the symbol of humility. Oh, we're so humble. We're not fighting. No. No, that's not humility. That's called humiliation.
Yes.
For a servant of Jesus Christ to be bowing down to the devil, for the servant of Jesus Christ to be cutting the message, trimming the message, compromising with sin, giving into temptation. That's not humility. That's humiliation of the colors of our army, our flag. That's defeat. It's death. But Satan turns it around. If you're suffering rejection because of testifying that the deeds of the world are evil, oh, well, you shouldn't be so judgmental. And the Christian, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to sound judgmental. If you're suffering as a small congregation like Smyrna, well, if you weren't such Pharisees. If you're suffering slander from the ungodly, well, if you would show more love. If you're suffering because you dress modest, oh, you need not be so extreme. It makes people feel uncomfortable. You shouldn't condemn others. But suffering for righteousness has no place of sympathy or honor in Satan's cope cult. There's no appreciation in his cope cult for suffering for righteousness' sake. If you stand up and speak the truth and rebuke sin and you express God's law the way it is, oh, you're a Neanderthal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a hate religion. You're a hater, like Brother Jeff was talking about. But if you're suffering because of your lack of obeying God's law, if you're suffering because of your compromise, you're such a wonderful Christian. Look how they're coping with their suffering. Do you know Smyrna's poverty and persecution was glorious to God, while Laodicea's compromising prosperity was shameful to God? Smyrna's poverty and persecution was victory.
Yes.
Laodicea's compromising prosperity was defeat.
Yep. Right.
Jezebel's message of love led to God's rejection, while Ephesus hating Nicolaitans was praised.
Yep, that's right.
We don't have to be ashamed of victory in Jesus. We don't have to cower and try to not make them feel uncomfortable. We need to be victorious in the Lord. We need to stand up and be righteous and godly and holy and produce godly homes and godly marriages. We don't have to apologize for being righteous before God. Amen. We don't have to back up and try to soften the blow. They need to repent. They're on the road to hell. They need to repent.
Yes.
They need to reconcile with God. Because of Jesus, I was converted at 15 and preached the gospel in my high school. Saved from a life of sin and corruption. I never took illicit drugs, booze, and never smoked. I don't have to be ashamed of that.
Amen.
I can praise God on that behalf. Because of Jesus, I was a virgin on my wedding day and have been a faithful husband for 29 years. Because of Jesus, my wife and I had pure courtship and didn't kiss till we were married. Because of Jesus, I've been striving on the straight and narrow for 35 years. Because of Jesus, my children were all homeschooled. They weren't raised in front of the TV. They never went to the wicked prom. They never had to endure health class. They never had to endure feminist, communist, or homosexual school teachers' wicked philosophy. And I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
We can rejoice in righteousness. The Coke cult has made it to where God's soldiers are almost embarrassed by what we're fighting for. We need to rejoice in obedience. Rejoice in good character. Rejoice in the progress you've made since you met Jesus. Rejoice in that. Don't diminish it. Oh, I'm still just a sinner. Are you? Are you living in sin? No. Well, what happened to... Praise God, I'm a saint.
Yes. Glory.
Praise God, I'm in the family of God. I'm a child of the Almighty.
Glory.
Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, and that means it's okay. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. That's you. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Unashamedly show forth the praises of Him who hath lifted you out of a mire life, lifted you out of the pit, lifted you out of sin, lifted you out of deceit, and set you on a rock and established your going.
Yes.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought. We don't have to cower before Satan's Coke cult. Their suffering, my friends, is a deceitful suffering in vain. Their suffering and all their would-be awards and honors for how well they're coping and all the ungodliness they're in, coping for disobeying God's word, coping with the sufferings. It's a slick and subtle trap. There is no glory, no reward, no crown to a soldier who surrenders. There is no glory, no reward, no crown to a soldier who bows to the enemy. A soldier who caves in. A soldier who compromises. A soldier who signs a peace treaty. You've lost your family status. We are in a family of winners. A family of victors. A family of those who triumph over Satan. A family of those who die in faith. A family of those who are faithful to the last breath. And are resurrected in glory. There is no room. There is no room in this family for quitters, compromisers, and POWs.
Right.
Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, that's us, they, the Christians, those in the family, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's the army we better be a part of.
Amen.
That's the only army that's going to heaven. That's the only family that God will own. That's the only bride that Jesus will marry. Revelation 14:9. Here is the patience, or 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They keep it. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That means these all died in faith. These all died in faith. They loved not their lives unto the death. They resisted sin unto blood.
Yes.
Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Spotless. To the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. But Jesus never washes us from surrender to the devil. He never washes us from bowing down to the devil. He washes us from sin that we repent of, we get up, we're still fighting, we're still in the battle. He doesn't wash any POWs. He doesn't wash those who've surrendered.
Right.
They're in the devil's camp. Listen to this. Luke 6:20, and He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, blessed be ye poor. Why? Because they didn't know how to handle money? No, He's going to tell us in a little bit. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Why? Because they're poor stewards? No. For ye should be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now. Why? Because of all your dysfunction and disobeying God's word? All the wreckage you've made? No. He says, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil. Why? For the Son of Man's sake.
Yes.
Every one of those was for the Son of Man's sake.
Right.
Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. That's the group that you've joined. You've been adopted into that family. Are you living up to it? You've been adopted into the family of God, saints. You've become a saint of God. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb and walking in newness of life? Expect a war. Are you walking in the light as a faithful soldier of Christ? Expect suffering. Are you standing for truth on the narrow road? Expect suffering. Are you overcoming Satan by vigilance and faithful obedience? Are you striving to build and maintain a biblical church body according to Christ's commission and command? This suffering is noble. This suffering is glorious. This suffering is honorable. This suffering is pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction in this suffering, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you know there's suffering on both roads? The broad road and the narrow road. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. It's very clear that there is suffering on the broad road. And there's suffering on the narrow road. One leads to glory. One leads to honor. One leads to eternal reward. The other, you suffer unto damnation. You suffer the consequences of your own foolishness. You suffer the consequences of your pride. You suffer the consequences of your rebellion. You suffer the consequences of disregarding God's word. And your suffering is in vain. It's not virtuous. There's no honor. There's no glory. You deserve no sympathy. You need to repent. All that suffering is in vain. Satan would have you to think that suffering at all is noble as long as you keep a positive outlook. As long as you cope with it with the right attitude. Yes. The Elis. Coping. Being compassionate to his sons. Oh, Satan loved that type of compassion. Oh, Satan honors the coping there. Coping with his sons as they desecrate God's priesthood. Learning to love them unconditionally. Learning to give them acceptance. You want to live in the whale's belly? I know Christians. I say Christians. Professing Christians. I know people who are living in the whale's belly. They are reaping the consequences of rebelling and running from God. They're living in the whale's belly and they think their suffering is bearing the cross. They think they're suffering for Jesus. They think that there's some reward waiting them because they're suffering so. No. On Judgment Day, Jonah's not going to get an award for coping with the whale's belly. That which was glorious about Jonah's life was preaching repentance to Nineveh.
Right.
Obeying God. The suffering he endured while obeying God is glorious. It's reward worthy. But not suffering in the whale's belly. The post-Bathsheba suffering of David's life is not the same as the suffering before.
Right.
Suffering to put up with Saul. Suffering to be faithful to God. Suffering to deny himself. Suffering for the cause of Christ is different than suffering the wreckage in his home because of Bathsheba. But in Satan's cope cult, suffering at all is honorable. And look how well they're dealing with it. They're doing such a good job. They're trusting God's promises. Oh, they're posting verses on Facebook. They're trusting, they're talking about Jesus. We're just trusting in Jesus. Why don't you repent?
Amen.
Why don't you repent so that whale can spit you out and you can get on with obedience? Amen?
Yes.
It's a subtle twist to a foundational principle in the Scriptures. But I have seen its effectiveness. I see it all the time. It's a dangerous twist. It's a dangerous cult. Turn on the Christian radio. And what do you hear? You're going to hear Satan's cope cult. You're going to hear the cope dope coming over the line. It's going to be talking about they sent their child off to university, state university, and wonder why he came back as a homo. And they're just coping with loving him unconditionally. You're going to find out with the wife. He sent his wife off all fixed up with her immodest clothes to be a secretary, and she ran off with somebody. And I'm bearing the cross. No, you're bearing the wreckage from your own stupidity.
Yes.
From your disobedience, from your rebellion, from your pride. Disregarding God's word. Why are you suffering? We need to stop and ask ourselves, what are we suffering? Why are we suffering it? Are we suffering in line of duty? Are we suffering as a valiant knight? Are we suffering as a triumphant soldier? Are we suffering in righteousness unto victory? Or are we suffering because we disobeyed God? Are we suffering because we were running from God? Are we suffering? Are we getting a spanking because we rebelled? Well, you know what? In that case, the only thing you can do righteously is start getting on the path and suffering unto victory.
That's right.
You can overcome failure, but you've got to be willing to suffer unto victory, realizing this suffering is not noble. This suffering has no reward. This suffering's in vain. You need to get back to suffering for righteousness' sake.
Yes.
Let's stand together. It's amazing. Whenever we suffer because we have spoken the truth too clearly, the world has no pity on that. Whenever we suffer because we've taken a stand for truth, they have no pity on that. But they like it when we're suffering in the realms where they are suffering. They like that. They like it when one of our children go wrong. They like it when one of our children mess up or go to the world and rebel. Then, okay, then, yeah, you're suffering just like me. But if we're suffering because of victory, if we're suffering because of triumph, there's no mercy in Satan's coat cult. Satan has no mercy there. You're a Pharisee. You're a legalist. You're self-righteous. There's no mercy there. But you just start suffering because of wreckage and rebellion. Oh, and they're full of mercy. Full of compassion. You're so noble. Just trust God. Oh, they'll pray with you. Just trust God. Any thoughts before we go to prayer?
This sounds to me like we've heard it from several different people, all of us in here. Folks saying that they're going to go back to being a regular Christian. That is the regular Christian. It's the one who's in that coat cult.
Yeah.
So yeah, any suffering, whether it's self-induced for my wickedness or whatever, is my cross to bear. And it's true. And if we suffer for righteousness' sake, they look at it as though that was self-inflicted because we should have taken such a harsh stance.
Right. Right. And you know, Satan will say that suffering for righteousness is self-inflicted because all you had to do was bow.
That's exactly right.
If you bow, I will give you all the kingdoms. So from now on, not bowing is self-inflicted. And so he has no compassion there.
That's what carrying the cross is. That's what bearing the cross truly is. It's a voluntary lifting up and following of Jesus.
Right.
Doing those things. So is it self-inflicted? I guess it is.
Yes.
The other thing what they say is bearing their cross are things that come upon them because of repercussions of what they've done, not because they voluntarily picked that up.
Yeah. Right. Jesus said, "The world hates me because I testify of it that the deeds thereof are evil." Yeah. Satan, when he said, "If you bow, I'll give you all this," implied, "If you don't, it's going to be war."
Yeah.
And that's what he says to all of us. Jesus said, "The world hates me. It's all out war because I testify of it that the deeds thereof are evil. I am testifying that they have a creator, they have a rightful Lord, they are in rebellion to their rightful Lord, and they're going to suffer for it." Boy, you start saying that, yeah, then you're going to suffer. But that's what soldiers do.
That's right.
That's what soldiers do. They suffer unto victory.
Yeah.
Even if that victory means dying in the faith, that's victory. That's still victory. Let's pray.